This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:05, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies. Call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. And by Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing of Litchfield. And here are the guys. It's Tim Mice, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinot, thank you very much. We are back in studio this week after hitting the road last Saturday to the Donnie Burton Memorial Quail Hunt. And guys, they do such a fantastic event out there. It obviously is a very sad occasion when they gather, but they have a lot of fun. They remember Donnie, and we were just honored that they invited us out.
And when you have, 80 people the last 2 days shooting, that's absolutely incredible.
Over 180 total. Been visiting with them a little bit this week, and a huge success, and weather was good, and everything went well.
And of course, the money goes for scholarships for kids in Hillsboro.
From what I heard, you guys ate well over there.
Food Jason Milanis, good. He knows what he's doing.
That breakfast casserole was pretty darn good. That's why it was tough to breathe there much of the time. So. Inhaled so much of it. Hey, Tim, this is good stuff. Let's go get seconds.
Yes.
You were on seconds, and I was on thirds, I think. So.
Hey, when it's free, radio people show up.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes.
The old radio show where the elite meet to eat.
There you go.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And a lot of the elite will be meeting this week at the various in-season basketball tournaments. We'll have the Macoupin County Basketball Tournament from Staunton here on FM 106. And then the Litchfield Invitational Tournament also kicks off today. And Terry, these are always two of the great in-season tournaments that we get to deal with.
Absolutely, and also we still have local teams competing in the Highland Girls Tournament with Hillsboro and Nokomis competing there. So it's a good week for basketball tournaments. Kind of splits, if you're the boys, it kind of splits the season in half, basically. And if you're the girls, you're basically 4 weeks away from postseason play, believe it or not.
January is really an underrated sports month in America. I mean, you've got the football playoffs and the NFL. College basketball is just getting heated up with the conference play. High school basketball obviously is ramped up, big month of January. This is really a great month for sports fans.
Well, and for the sports that aren't even in season. Baseball starts talking, the winter trade talks get a little more serious. You have a lot of your winter warm-up type functions going on. Spring training's just around the corner. So it's as far as sports is concerned, it's a busy month. Of course, you get your BCS games that we're all involved with the college football. So it's a fun month. So
Notre Dame's like, "When's that game start?" Oh. Yeah. Uh-oh. It already happened?
We missed it.
We forgot to show up.
Yeah, we missed it. And getting back to the local tournaments around here, maybe not the most talented teams, but a lot of parity among the teams.
And I think that's kind of the situation for boys basketball specifically around the area this year. Just everyone's kind of lumped into the same classification.
But when you take a look at the records, though, there's a lot of teams with double-digit wins already. So before we kind of throw it saying, well, it's not maybe good, well, it's maybe not as bad as we think it is either, because when you have teams that are pretty decent beating up on each other, some's going to win, some's going to lose, and I don't think the boys basketball is as bad as sometimes we think it is.
It's like I said, there's a lot of parity. A lot of teams. Yeah. You beat me tonight, and we'll beat you tomorrow night. That type of situation.
Of course, in the South Central, you got the Pena. That's kind of the top of the heap right now, and Coach Boker does such a great job at Pena, getting those guys ready to play. So.
And North Mac will be the prohibitive favorite in the boys' side of things at the Macoupin County Tournament. But I think you could say that Staunton was, in a lot of ways, the prohibitive favorite at the Carlinville Tournament, and we saw what happened. And when you don't have a bracket, when you got pool play, anything can happen. So just because you're the top seed, like North Mac is, that doesn't mean that you're guaranteed a spot in that championship.
And I wish I had done some research on And I don't know how we'd probably have to bring in somebody like Roger Crotteville or somebody that's a little more familiar with the ongoing Macoupin County tournaments. But I'm wondering, when teams get to host the tournament, like Staunton this year, Mont Olive, how much of an advantage, how many times does the home team that's hosting the tournament win the tournament?
Right. Where that would get a little tricky, though, is so many years Carlinville was at Carlinville.
I'm wondering, since it was started rotating around, I wonder if there's a trend there where the home teams, the teams that are actually hosting the tournament, maybe have a little bit better winning percentage as far as winning the tournament. I don't know.
No, I don't know either. I try to think off the top. The whole time I was in high school was at Carlinville every year, but I can't really remember the home team necessarily winning, maybe getting to the championship game.
Well,
but
I can't remember. I remember Carlinville won it one year against Southwestern when they played at home, and Mont Olive won it with Brendan Faber hitting the shot at the buzzer.
Well, in '93, wasn't it at Verdon?
Yes, I believe it was at Verdon that year. So, yeah, you know, it's
maybe it's a few more than I give it credit for.
It's
certainly an advantage, you know.
There's no travel, very little travel involved, and I mean, when you practice there and you play your home games there, you're kind of used to the dead spots in the floor, as we like to mention once in a while. So, yeah.
Staunton will be a great venue for this Macoupin County tournament. And the nice thing, like logistically for the teams, is they got four locker rooms. That always helps.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah, absolutely. Especially today when and next Saturday when they're running six games through, you know, or on the nights they have three games, a couple of nights they have three games. So, yeah, you have multiple locker rooms, it goes a long way. And Litchfield's the same way. You know, they've got multiple locker rooms, and they can accommodate those tournaments. So,
and every team will be in action today at the Macoupin County Tournament, except, I believe, the four seed in both the girls and the boys will be idle today.
Right, which will be – the four seeds will be Bunker Hill in the girls and Southwestern in the boys. So – those two teams, I do not believe, will be in playing today. So,
no, yeah. I think Southwestern boys will play Monday, and I think the Bunker Hill girls will play on Tuesday.
Yes.
I think it's how it works out. So, still trying to get adjusted to the round robin pools. And with seven teams, one pool has three.
Yeah.
The top seeded team gets a pool of three, and then obviously the other pool is four. So not ideal, but you got to make the best of the situation that you're dealt. On the other side, we've got the Litchfield Invitational. They've also got pools, but once they play their pool games, Terry, they then reseed and go into a bracket, and that, to me, is a great way to run a tournament. It allows you to get a few more teams in, maximize the number of games. I think it just works out really well.
Well, you're allowed, instead of having basically eight teams, you're allowed to have a dozen teams. And with multiple gymnasiums, you know, they can play a lot of games.
That's the key.
And when you have the ability to, in Litchfield, this is a good tournament for some of the bigger schools and some of the smaller schools. It's a good cross section across the central part of the state, and especially South Central Illinois, where you have Roxanne, the number one seed, Pena number two, Columbia three, and Civic Memorial four, and then you have a smaller school like Nokomis in the tournament as well, along with some of the Metro East schools, and of course Greenville, Hillsboro, Litchfield, all from the local area as well. So, good tournament. I like the Litchfield tournament. I think it's a terrific, one of the best in-season tournaments year in and year out as far as a high level of competition, especially once you get to the championship brackets. Those semifinals and championship games are pretty intense.
And from like a Litchfield, Hillsboro, Nokomis perspective, you're going to wind up playing teams that you don't otherwise play. You know, you're not going to, and Litchfield and Hillsboro have met, you know, Nokomis will match up against Litchfield.
For example, Nokomis is in the Pena pool.
Right.
And they play each other each year. So that's, you know.
But you're going to get a couple of games probably against a team that you're not going to see.
Right. And that's good in the middle of the season. Kind of let you know where you are. And like I said, the Litchfield tournament is not an easy tournament. There's no tournament that's easy to win, but Litchfield tournament, when they have some of those 3A schools in there, it's very, very difficult for our 1A and 2A schools to win.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we hope to catch up with Drew Logan, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. We'll talk about the Invitational and the Panther season thus far. We'll do that following these messages.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's Restaurant in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires, complete exhaust service, and heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's Crew Cab Rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. So, when you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield.
And at 9:15, let's take a look at the weather forecast being brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Cloudy skies for today. There's a chance for some showers. Falling temperatures. We'll have light northwest winds for tonight. Cloudy skies, colder with a mix of rain, sleet, and snow possible. We'll have lows in the mid-20s. Heading into Sunday, partly cloudy skies. It will be colder. Expect a high Sunday in the upper 20s. At 9:16, we have a temperature reading of 51 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech, or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
Farming doesn't follow an 8 to 5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:17, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinot, thank you very much. And last night here on FM 106, the Litchfield Purple Panthers defeated the Gillespie Miners 44-36. Joining us on the phone right now, the head coach of Litchfield, Drew Logan. And coach, that ball game I think was tied at 36 with about 3 minutes to go, and your boys closed on an 8-0 run. That had to make you happy.
Yeah, it was definitely a back-and-forth game. You know, I had commented to you before the game that, you know, Gillespie's a difficult place to play, and they play hard. You know, I wrote on the board at halftime the word physical. They were more physical than we were, and I challenged our kids to be more physical in the second half, and we were able to pull it out.
Just some teams that have that that knack of being physical like that, and Gillespie does, and especially when you get them on their home floor, it. Even though the basketball courts, the regulation size and everything, you're still playing in their pit, and it's still a pit.
Yeah, and I love that gym.
Oh, it's a great gym.
A lot of players that, you know, would like to argue with me about it, but I love the older gyms like that. I think there's just more character in them a lot of times in some of the newer gyms. And you know, it makes even being down on the floor, you don't have the fans right behind you, but the kids still can't hear you when you're trying to yell at them. You're trying to get it. You're trying to get instructions to them at the end of the game, and you know, they couldn't hear me on the other end of the court.
Yeah, you ever stop to think, coach, that sometimes when a player says he doesn't hear you, that might be by design a little bit?
I can't believe that, but yeah, no, I mean, it's called selective hearing.
Oh, yeah.
I think at times it gets I get blocked out.
Drew, I know last night you guys got Peter Kwee back, and that's a big addition for your club.
Yeah, I mean, Peter's been out since the Southwestern game. He came back from a arthroscopic knee surgery he had from an injury he had last basketball season. Made it through soccer and went ahead and had the surgery. And structurally, he was back when the season started, but he just didn't have the explosiveness for jumping and defense and all that. And you know, it was kind of a mutual decision. We just said, hey, take time off, get yourself back to where you need to be, and then, you know, I mean, I'm coaching for February anyway. I want postseason stuff, so get back and be ready to go by then.
He just kind of seems to be a calming influence on the other guys when he's on the floor.
Yeah, you know, we actually had that conversation with him in the coach's office after we got back. You can tell a difference in the demeanor of the team when he's out there, and I think that's, you know, the respect from the other players as far as leadership. I mean, he's the type of player that he does what, and he sets the example. You know, he's not always vocal, but he kind of sets the example of what's supposed to be done.
And this is a quality in some athletes that's hard to figure out where it comes from. You might have a 20-point guy or the guy that gains 150 yards on the football field, but you could never consider him a leader. And some other young man comes quietly along and is a leader who maybe not is an outstanding athlete, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, and I mean, we really stress that as far as, you know, actually last night one of our keys to the game was, you know, do your part. You know, everybody doesn't have to score, but everybody has to do their part. Maybe it's defense, maybe it's rebounding, and part of that's also leadership. You know, at times this year we've struggled to find that and find that person that's going to step up when things get tough. I mean, the Hillsborough game was a perfect example of it. We didn't have the leadership at the end of the game, and, I couldn't give him an answer why, because in the Raymond game we had leadership at the end of the game. You know, it's one of those where, we're looking for some consistency as far as leadership goes.
Andrew, your ball club is the kind of ball club. The lower the score, the better it off it is for the Panthers. You like to control the tempo of that ball game.
Oh yeah, again last night, I don't know the length of time, but we were stuck on 14 forever. And I'm like, here we go again, you know. But as long as we can play defense, and, you know, I've got the kids to commit to that. If we can play defense, if we can keep teams in the 40s, we're going to be sitting pretty good. I mean, we won't, you know, nobody's going to run away from us if the game's in the 40s, hopefully.
That's one of the things that drives coaches crazy. You know, you come out, you start the ball game, and you zip out, and you score 12, 15 points, just bang, 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 and you get through the quarter. Then you go into the next quarter, and you may go that same amount of time and score nothing, and that has to drive you crazy.
Well, and the funny thing last night was, we played Gillespie twice. They played man both times we played them. We spent a lot of time really working on the execution of our man offensive stuff. Well, then, you know, Coach Allen comes out in the 1-3-1. That's part of the game, the back and forth. Well, we come out and we put up points against the 1-3-1. They go man, and all of a sudden we start becoming stagnant. And we spent 4 days in practice working on it. So it was, we talked about that at halftime. You know, they went into what we wanted them to go into, and we really struggled at times.
Well, you guys are off today, but the Litchfield Invitational Tournament does begin this afternoon. And just talk a little bit about the field as a whole, another quality group of teams.
Well, I mean, we were talking about it last night after the game. I mean, you look at the 12 teams that are in, this is one of the hardest tournaments to rank, in my opinion, just because, Roxanne is obviously... is obviously the one, but they've been beaten by some teams that other teams have beaten. So it was this, you know, it's like the 6 degrees of separation, trying to figure out who's played who, who's beaten who. But the field's really tough. You know, we added Mount Zion this year in place of Alton Marquette, and Mount Zion, I think, last night knocked off Charleston by like 12. I mean, we've got a really tough field, and Nokomis is ranked 7th, and we know that, you know, with Coach Kimbrough, they can make noise at any tournament, any time of the year. So it's a really balanced field, and we've had a lot of head scratchers this year of scores, and I think you might see some out of this too.
And the neat thing about this tournament is the combination of, you go all the way from a 1A type school to a Class 3A type school. You've got such a good blend of different sizes of schools and teams that you don't traditionally see throughout the regular season.
Right. I mean, you know, you obviously have some of the conference schools, but, I mean, Bethalto Civic Memorial, you have them. Columbia, I love getting a chance to see them. They're such a disciplined team. And then you have schools like Lebanon, a small school, but they, I think they were in the third place game last year. I mean, it's, you know, it's a very balanced field, and you get to see a lot of teams. I mean, we're playing Metro East Lutheran and Columbia. You know, we were at the Metro tournament, but didn't get a chance to play them. And we, you know, I think we matched up with Columbia last year in our first game.
And when you get to play in some of these bigger schools in a tournament like this in January, that can only help you save for regional time because you never know what type of squad you might run into there.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you look at some of the competition in this tournament. I mean, it's a, you know, it definitely helps you prepare for the postseason. And, you know, when we started looking at the regional assignment, you know, it's a little different than it has been in the past with T-Town and Effingham St. Anthony coming into the Hillsborough Regional. But, it gives you a chance to play some of these teams that, you know, are going to be competing for hardware in the postseason.
Drew, your second year at Litchfield, you're 11-7 now. You won the Cromville Holiday Tournament Championship. How would you assess the state of the Litchfield program as you guys are moving forward here?
I think we definitely are going in the right direction. The kids are really, we really had to question some things after the Hillsborough game as far as are we really truly buying in, are we not? And I still believe that we are. I think we're going in the right direction. We're going to have a group of seniors this year that I'm going to hate to see leave because they do so many integral things in a game that maybe aren't noticed by a normal fan. But we have a lot coming back also next year. And, you know, we got some additions that will be coming on to the varsity next year that I think are going to help us and, you know, hopefully take another step forward next year.
And the good thing about it, Drew, it is a long season. I mean, you go for almost 4 months here in the high school basketball season, and there are going to be some hills and valleys along the way, but still the goal is playing your best in February.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Midwestern weather. You know, if you don't like the way the season's going, give it a week maybe, or give it a day or a game, and maybe it'll change. You know, it's really up and down, but we try to, you know, it's kind of the John Wooden philosophy, don't get too high, don't get too low. The more consistent you can be, the more successful you can be.
And sometimes games like you had last week against Hillsborough, you know, no one wants to lose, but sometimes good things, if it makes sense, good things come out of a loss because, as you said, you had to sit down and reevaluate where you was at right. And what was going on.
Well, and I go back, and I don't know if I said this to Tim last night or somebody else, but when I was in high school, when I played at Harrisburg, we made it to the state championship my senior year. Week 6 of that season, we went to Benton. First play of the game, they ran the kickoff back, and we got beat. And it made you step back and realize real quickly, okay, maybe we're not as good as we really thought we were, and maybe we need to refocus and get back to work. And I think that's really kind of what, you know, happened Friday. We had an opportunity, and Hillsborough outplayed us. I'm not taking anything away from them. They finished the ball game, and we didn't. But we, you know, I think we thought we were going to go in there and just win because – on paper, we were better, but unfortunately, on paper, games don't win, aren't won that way.
That's true.
Drew, you guys are off today, but you've got yourself a big, big day as you will basically be inside Simmons until, 11 o'clock tonight?
Yeah, 9 per game, and then probably at least till 10 to close. I'm actually, my son's at basketball practice right now in Mount Olive, so I'm getting ready to leave there and head to practice right now and start the rest of my day.
Well, Drew, we always appreciate the time you give us, and we'll talk to you down the line, sir.
All right, thanks, guys.
Drew Logan, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, as the Invitational kicks off today. Yeah. What, the 46th year?
46th year.
How about that?
Yeah, it's been a good bid, good tournament over the years, and some really terrific basketball teams have come through there. And I like to go back to the year St. Anthony and Lincoln would played in a championship game, and St. Anthony was, I think that was the year they went to state, and it was 108-86 or something like that. It was what a game, though. It was just packed to the gill. I mean, it was just.
When's the last time we saw a high school team score 100 points?
Yeah,
is that it?
Yeah, it's in the tournament. I don't know.
In any game.
Well, it's been a while around here.
Yeah,
And a lot of it has to do with the fact that coaches are better at teaching defense.
That's right.
You know, and that aspect of the game has changed dramatically, where you just don't let a guy shoot over a soft 2-3 zone anymore. You just don't do that.
What is 100 points though? You know. There's something cool about it.
Sure.
I remember
sure.
We scored when I was in high school. We scored 100 points. Yeah. I think once. It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
Well, you just fun seeing it on the scoreboard.
Yes, it's neat.
Yeah. see triple digits up there.
You said, what is there about it, Tim? Well, I can tell you one thing about it. I never played in or saw a 100-point high school game.
Put it this way. If you scored 100 points in a high school game, you probably won the game.
That's true. Well, the peach basket was a little smaller than the rims today.
Well,
right?
It was.
Joining us on the phone right now, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs, Steve Morris. Steve, we were just talking about 100 points in high school and just kind of the aura of it and how neat it was. Did you ever get 100 on the board when you were playing?
No. We played Hillsboro my freshman year, though. They had a kid named Tyler Shelton, really good. Ended up playing some college baseball. And they beat us 96-92. It was a really neat game, you know, for a freshman, especially to put up that many points.
But of course, sorry, Steve, go ahead.
Well, but in today's day and age, especially at the small school level, I mean, you're seeing games more in the 20s and 30s than in the 80s and 90s. So it's not a real common thing anymore.
Well, what I was going to say is, now that you're a coach, you much would rather see your 1-3-1 just shut it down and maybe hold the opponent to about 45.
Maybe even 35.
Right. That's just been kind of the way we've had to win the past few years. I know, obviously, from a fan's perspective, you'd like to see a little bit more scoring, but we're just at a point right now in our program that we stand a better chance. I think Drew was just saying the same thing. We just stand a better chance to win if the games are in the 40s rather than the 60s. That's just kind of where we are right now.
And if you look at teams that progress deep into the playoffs, that's a style of basketball they play in Illinois, you know, until you get to maybe the 4A class. You know, they play that ball control. We're going to control every possession and you know, really work for the good shot. That's nothing unusual about that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you're in small school and your athletes just change from year to year so much, I think you got to kind of be more of a possession type thing. And you are exactly right. Like, when I go watch 4A schools, you know, they are scoring in the 70s and 80s. It's just a different style right now. There's a huge separation. And, you know, fans want it both ways. They want you to put up 80 and hold the other team to 40.
Right.
Show me a team that's doing that consistently.
Well, yeah, they're happy if you win 80-79. You know, they saw a lot of points scored, and that's what they like.
Yeah, but they don't have any fingernails left if it's 80-79, Ron.
Yeah.
Right.
Steve, you guys went down to Roxana last night and saw a tough Shells club. What did you come away with impression-wise last night?
Well, they played really well at the beginning of the year. In fact, they beat Jabot, who I think is number 3 in the state right now in 1A, maybe like 14-2 overall. Roxana, when they're clicking on all cylinders, I mean, they're extremely difficult to contend with. They're big, 6'9", 6'6", 6'5", across the front line, and they can shoot. And last night we saw them at full throttle. And I was thinking with Litchfield, I don't know how the seeds came out, but I know they've beaten Litchfield, Hillsboro, and Pena, who's starting to roll pretty well right now.
They're at the top there.
They've beaten them all by 30-plus, I think. So if it's kind of their tournament to lose, but, you know, I felt like Carlinville was our tournament to lose, and we found a way. So, you know, so they are definitely the top seed, and if they're playing their game, I don't see anybody contending with them. But recently here until last night, we kind of woke up a sleeping giant. They had not been playing real well. So they kind of turned it around last night.
Well, Steve, Staunton hosting the Macoupin County Tournament, which kicks off today, and you mentioned how you guys were kind of favored at Carlinville. I guess the North Mac boys would be the favorite in the county, but as you stated, that's why they play the games.
Yeah, you know, first off, with North Mac, I'm very impressed. They lost a couple kids, but they're very well coached, and, you know, once again, have a nice, solid team coming in. With the new format, it hasn't been around long, but it's actually not favor the top seed. I think the first year the girls went to it, Southwestern was a top seed and got knocked off in pool play. And then last year was the first year for the boys, and North Mac got knocked off. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if there's a lot of difference between 1 and 2, 3 and 4. It's just kind of a matter of who matches up well against one another and who shows up that day.
From a coaching perspective, Steve, do you change anything when you're in a tournament where there's no bracket? Like, in terms of, like, maybe how you address your team, like you mentioned, the danger, just because you're the one seed in pool play, if you lose that first day, it doesn't matter.
Right. You know, I do think that when the county had the brackets, your team had to focus more because they knew, hey, if we win, we go to the right side. If you lose, you go to the left, and then you're done. But I think now it's just kind of more so feels like another game a little bit, which last year benefited us because we were not playing well coming into the county, and we were able just to, you know, approach it one game at a time and then so happened to get on a roll and won it. But definitely there's a different feel. It's hard to explain, but you can definitely feel the difference as far as the approach, I think, that the kids have with it.
Of course, back in the old days of the county tournament, it was just a single elimination. You know, you lost the game, and you were done for the week. And that's what it made it almost like a second regional tournament week back in that era. That was crazy.
Yeah, I remember my sophomore year, we actually went in as the 3 seed, and we got upset by Northwestern. And then you're off like a week and a half the way our schedule was set up. So a lot of practice time, and it wasn't fun. And I actually think they changed that the very next year, which would have been the 96 season.
Steve, hosting the Macoupin County Tournament is always a special week for the host school. I'd imagine a lot of different folks at Staunton are pretty amped up about the coming week.
They are, and I seem a little distracted here. The newborn is trying to get him to sleep, so at some point I might have to let you go. But, yeah, first off, our principal and janitorial staff have done a nice job. I think when people arrive to the venue, they're going to see, you know, fresh paint. Trophy cases have been kind of refurbished, I guess you could say. The floor looks nice. So first off, I think the venue is set up really nice, and it's a credit to our staff. And then Troy Redfern's doing a nice job putting everything together. So I think they're going to enjoy it. You guys know that gym can get rocking and rolling pretty quick with the acoustics in there. And I think it's a great venue. I know the teams from the north probably don't like the drive that much, but overall, you know, I think they're going to enjoy the time. And somebody mentioned earlier we got the 4 locker rooms. That definitely is nice as well.
Well, Steve, we look forward to a week of basketball at Staunton High School. We will let you go and get to the more important things on your schedule for today, and we'll see you tonight, sir.
All right. Take care, guys. Thanks.
Steve Moore, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs.
With a munchkin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Busy man.
Busy man. Extremely busy, yes.
And when munchkins don't want to go to sleep, that can be a little...
That's not good.
No. No.
Well, it seems like the other kids might be able to sleep, but mom and dad never get to, so...
Isn't it funny how that works?
No, that's not really.
It's just kind of the way it goes, isn't
it? That's called payback when you were a kid, so that's what that is.
He kind of sounded... When he answered the phone, he kind of sounded like he's been up all night. I'm like, you okay? Did I wake you up?
He probably has been up all night.
It might be.
Very possible. So a fun week of basketball for us here across Mid-Illinois, whether it's the Litchfield Invitational or the Macoupin County Tournament. Basically, between those two tournaments, every team that we're involved with, Terry, is in one of those two fields.
Pretty much. Of course, one of the other tournaments going on, the Highland Girls Tournament, which is kind of the miniature state tournament, I like to call it. Hillsborough plays at 10:30 this morning. They're going to play Cowden-Herrick, Beecher City, which has been a very good team, a top-ranked team that's been at state the last couple of years in 1A. And then later on in the day, Nokomis, actually tonight, will be the last game of the evening. They'll play Breeze Modern Day at 7:30 this evening. And, you look at, you know, Triad Nashville playing right now, Hillsborough against Cowden-Herrick, Beecher City, Altoff and Belleville West, Salem and Carlisle, Vandalia, Breeze Central, Oakville and Highland, T-Town, O'Fallon, Nokomis, Breeze Modern Day, you know, just
no gimmies.
Pick your poison there, man.
There's no gimmies in there.
No gimmies. I mean, that's a slugfest of a tournament. It's probably, and Edwardsville's not in it this year. They just dominated when they were in it, and whoever comes out of there, it's really weird because you have to really play well for a week to win that tournament. But a lot of times, the team that wins that tournament doesn't do well in the postseason going deep into the tournament.
And you just wonder if they
burn, you know,
if they peak. Peak a little bit too early.
Yeah, it's a possibility. And it's just so difficult to win when you play good competition. You know, once you get, you know, regional tournaments are hard enough to win. You get to sectionals, you got 4 great teams playing. You get to super, you got 2 terrific teams playing. You know, it's just so difficult to win these tournaments.
And we've talked about it so many times. The draw. It's all about the draw when you get in to the postseason. We saw last year with the Litchfield boys, they made a nice run to the championship game at Pena. This year, they're in a regional, T-Town, St. Anthony's. So, I mean, it's all about the draw. We saw it with the Litchfield girls a few years ago compared to their draw that they got last year. Mm-hmm. It's all about the draw.
Sure. Especially the regional level of play.
Yes.
Once you get
That's the key.
Yeah, the regional level of play, it's the draw is the most important. It's kind of like the first round of the football playoffs, Tim. You know, where are you going to go? Where are you going to end up? If you're not 9-0, where are you going to be? Because you're going to be on the road someplace. And is it going to be against a number 2 or a number 1? You know, it's all about the draw. Draws... You know, you have to have good coaching, you have to have good players, but you got to have a little luck.
Yes.
You know, you have to have those three elements to go deep into the postseason. You just have to.
And so. Terry, you and I have had the honor and pleasure of doing some games from the Highland Tournament, and what a great place to have this tournament.
Great venue.
Great facility. You know, just great.
And the local civic groups, they, you know, they run the food stands and everything like they do at a lot of our tournaments around here, and it's a really nice setup. They really do a nice job there. And you see some very quality basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like the Litchfield Tournament. You know, it's a very high-end tournament. It's a very high-end tournament.
And the mix of the Highland Tournament, as you said, you've got 1A, you got 3A, mm-hmm. you know, you got all size schools in this tournament.
Mm-hmm. And varying styles.
Yes.
Most of them will play that possession kind of style of basketball, but every once in a while, you know, Beecher City, Cowden Herrick, Beecher City, they like to giddy up and go. And on the toppers, it'll be interesting to see how the toppers do against that today. So
that should be a great
ball
game.
That'd be a great ball game, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, it's a Highland tournament going on at Highland High School. So,
Terry, I guess while we got a moment here, there was, of course, a lot of ball games played last night. Maybe some of the scores that some folks are curious about.
Sure. And the game that you did, Litchfield beat Gillespie, was it 44-36?
44-36.
Okay. Vandy beat Greenville 55-45. Roxanne over Staunton 56-38. Lebanon down Bunker Hill 52-20. Mount Olive beat Franklin 44-37. At the Sangamon County Tournament last night in the seventh place game, Pawnee beat Tri-City 47-31. Williamsville downed Auburn in the third place game 70-51. And Rochester beat New Berlin 40-20 in the consolation championship. A lot of games today. On the boys' side at Macoupin County at 4:30, Staunton against Mount Olive. Carlinville against Bunker Hill at 6. North Mac against Gillespie at 7:30. All the games at Litchfield and Simmons Gymnasium today at 2:30. Pena East Altonwood River at 4. Columbia Metro East Lutheran. Mount Zion Hillsboro at 6. Roxana Greenville at 7:30. At Morrisonville, they wrap up that tournament today. Lincolnwood Morrisonville at 6:15. Nokomis Edinburgh after that. Pleasant Plains takes on Riverton at the Sangamon County Tournament in the boys' side.
That'll be a game.
Oh
man.
Those one of those two teams are in the championship every year, it seems like.
Hillsboro's playing Mount Zion?
Yeah.
That's the second time this year they're playing them. Wow.
That's the voice of the toppers. You should have known they were playing Mount Zion. You're slipping.
No.
Slipping.
Well, they played them in Hillsboro, but I didn't know they opened it up at the Litchfield Tourney against Mount Zion.
You're slipping. Stay on top of it.
At the North Green Girls Tournament, Litchfield plays for third place this afternoon at 2, and they will take on Winchester. At the Macoupin Tournament, in the girls' side at noon, Gillespie Mount Olive. At 1:30, North Max Staunton, and at 3, Southwestern against Carlinville. So there you have it. And then we'll have our coverage from Macoupin County tonight, starting at 6 with Carlinville, Bunker Hill, North Mac against Gillespie. Earlier, Illini.
That's right. Tough.
You know, this is a game.
When the schedule comes out,
yeah.
You usually put an L next to at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
More times than not.
My gosh.
Chalk it down.
12:30 pregame on FM 106.
And as I've said before, as you look around at coaches, Bo at Wisconsin, he's one of my favorites.
Oh, love Bo Ryan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
His twin brother, the Badger.
Yeah.
Well, I think if we genetically check the man, he probably is a Badger.
That's true.
He sure looks like it to me.
Especially after Wisconsin has a couple turnovers in a row and he gets scowling over there.
Amazing thing about Bo is, you know, he'll come out and beat you, but he won't beat you with superstars because he doesn't have any.
Well, no, there's not many Wisconsin guys in the NBA.
Yeah.
No.
They are the definition of a team. Five working as one, and they play high-level college basketball. They're one of those teams. They get into the tournament, they always win a couple of games.
Yeah.
And playing at Wisconsin is no picnic.
Oh, God, no. Playing on the road in the Big Ten is no picnic. Thing about Wisconsin, though, if you shut one guy down, you got four others that you're probably not going to touch. So, and when you play the team style basketball that Wisconsin plays, pick your poison. Who are you going to go after?
And you can't
defend them all.
Cannot.
And while we're talking about the Big Ten, you had to be impressed with Minnesota.
Yeah, they look awfully good.
Yeah.
They have all the pieces that you're looking for. They got the inside. They got the outside. They got the experience.
That's why Minnesota hired Tubby Smith a few years ago and says, Tubby, you got to build us a program back up, and he's done that.
And he's the perfect example of why you have to give a coach time. I mean, they were thinking about firing him
after
the year last year. I think this is his sixth year, and look what's happened. now he's going. I would suspect that his program is in place now, and they're only going to get better if he stays on.
And you know, and the thing of it is, it's about the educational aspect of basketball. You have to have the right people. You know, if he's there 4 years on his fifth year, he's got all his people there. So now it's all his people that he's recruited. So this is truly Tubby's team, and you know, you just got to give him time to be molded. And he again, you know, maybe not many superstars on that team.
No, not really.
I mean, when you look at it, they're a team that could go very deep in the postseason tournament as well.
Yeah, they're only lost to Duke.
Mm-hmm.
That was earlier
imagine
in the year.
Imagine that.
Yeah. That's what, it's like they're the best team in the country or something.
Yeah.
How about that?
They are.
Although they might lose today. They're at NC State, and Ryan Kelly out with a foot injury, so that's not good. Not good for my Dukies.
No. good. And he's going to be out for
a while. That's the injury that put him out last year for the tournament when they lost.
They're talking that, you know, worst case scenario, maybe 6 weeks.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he's back before March, honestly. Wow. That's a big blow for Duke, but
it is.
I don't think there's too many people shedding too many tears that Duke lost one of their best
players. Well, and you know, Mike Krzyzewski says, okay, next.
Well, that's exactly right.
You know, he's got enough blue-collar, blue-chip people there.
All right.
There you go.
We'll go to my other McDonald's All-American coming off the bench.
We've only got eight of them here.
That's right, maybe more. We need to get to a break on Sports Saturday. We're back with more coming up.
If your New Year's resolution is to lose weight, eat light and healthy with farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. For a quick light lunch or a snack, try Prairie Farms yogurt flavored with fruit or low-fat cottage cheese topped with fresh fruit. And don't forget that 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice is good all day long. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms, farmer-owned.
Listen tonight for live coverage of the Macoupin County Basketball Tournament on the Tally Broadcasting Station. Brought to you by Shipman Elevator with service from the ground up. The Becker & Son Funeral Home in Mount Olive. C&B Bank & Trust with 12 locations to serve you. Area Diesel Service on University Street in Carlinville. And by Cruise Enterprise in Girard, Burden, and Auburn. And for the broadcast and online broadcast schedule, check out our website, WSMIRadio.com.
And at 9:46, let's take a look at the weather forecast being brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Cloudy skies for today. There is a slight chance for some showers with falling temperatures. For tonight, cloudy skies, what yet again, it will be colder with a mix of rain, sleet, and snow possible. Expect a low tonight of around 25 degrees. Heading into Sunday, partly cloudy skies and colder. We'll have high Sunday in the upper 20s. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday, partly cloudy skies. Expect highs in the mid-30s. The lows will be in the 20s. At 9:47, we have a temperature reading of 53 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in 1 minute.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with 4 locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Since 1899, 4 generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:48, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
So, Benat, thank you very much. We got about 10 minutes left here on Sports Saturday. Fighting Illini basketball coming up at 12:30 here on FM 106. And hard to believe, fellas, but
next Saturday we'll have regional tournament pairings for girls' high school basketball in 1A and 2A, believe it or not.
That will be next
week. That's scary.
The winter warm-up for the Cardinals, I think, is also next weekend.
On the 21st.
Yeah. And then spring training is close.
Our first spring training broadcast is Saturday, February 23rd.
How about that? That is not far off.
No, it's not. That's scary.
And the World Baseball Classic is this year, so spring training, I think, starting a little bit earlier, maybe a week or two sooner than it normally does. But those with a game on February 23rd, pitchers and catchers are going to be reporting very, very soon. Yes. I don't know the exact date, but they're in camp for weeks before they play.
Yeah.
15th of February, I think they report.
Mm-hmm. I would think it would be before that.
That's when they have to be there. Most of them will be there before.
They'll
then,
be there
I
before, but I think the 15th is they have to be in camp.
And, of course, that World Baseball Classic will entail about 2 weeks right in the middle of the spring training season where some of the players will be gone from their major league teams. And I don't know about you guys, but if I was a major league baseball owner, I would make sure and have a contract with my players and said, you're not going to play in that World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Pro Bowl for NFL. It's just, it's risky. What I wish, and it's not possible logistically, it's like you always say, Terry, I deal in reality.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just, you have to deal in reality. Yeah. It'd be nice if they could have this World Baseball Classic, like, say, in the middle of the summer when all these players are primed and in midseason form, but you can't do it.
No.
You can't just shut the Major League season down for 2 weeks in the middle of the year. You just can't do it. So they do it at the best time they can, but that's why you really worry about the injuries, especially to the pitchers, because it's spring training time, but when you're playing for your country, your mind and body amps up to 110%.
Sure, sure. And for the elite-level players that come and play for their respective countries, they're used to competing at a very high level, and they may not be ready, but they're going to try it. And that's when you get bad things happening.
Yep.
And you know, you just don't want to see these major leaguers get hurt because there's a 162-game schedule, and it's long enough the way it is. And why risk it?
So. Yeah, and maybe $100 million along with that 162 game. So. You know, guys, we've been sitting here cussing and discussing about tournaments and the quality of teams and stuff. And while we were doing that, you know, I have to go back and date myself again. But there's no doubt in my mind that in 1945, when the Taylorville Tornadoes went 45-0 and won the state tournament, or in Bon Temps, that to me has to be the best high school basketball team I ever watched play.
Well, not necessarily the best team ever, but the best team you saw personally.
Yeah. Team I saw, yes.
I don't know. If I had to pick a team, I'd say Dalton Thornridge would be one there.
Did you see them play?
Yeah. Okay. I watched them on TV.
I've always heard that is the best team in the history of Illinois. The best team that I ever saw with my own eyes were those Peoria Manual teams.
Manual teams were pretty doggone tough.
The thing that I go back to Taylorville was, here's a team that went 45-0. They played 45 ball
games. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And they won them all. And this is what, to me, and no argument with Thornridge or Peoria or any of these teams, great ball clubs, but this team went 45-0 in a high school season.
That's a lot of games.
Oh,
why would you even schedule that many games?
I don't know.
That many games?
Back then, I don't think there was any limit, really.
There probably wasn't. I mean,
you're basically, you'd have to play like every Tuesday, Friday, Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every week.
Yeah.
And maybe you could get 45 in.
I don't know. And back then, if you didn't start till after December, I mean, you're looking at just a ton of games. My gosh.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times these teams will play three or four games the last week of November in a turkey tournament, but that probably didn't exist at that point. So.
No.
Well, you know, and that's the great thing about sports. You can argue and you can express your opinion about who you think is better or teams that impressed you. And you know, the Manual teams, my gosh, winning state tournament 4 years ago.
Unbelievable.
You know, that's
And dominated.
Dominated.
Well, they not only won, they dominated.
Well, and it was the same group of kids. You know, Sergio McLean, Marcus Griffin were there as freshmen. Then Frankie Williams came in as a sophomore. So it was the same core of players that did this from freshman to senior. It was just, it was an unbelievable feat. I got to see all four of them in person, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
It really was.
It did. Yeah.
And it moved up. The tournament had just moved to Peoria.
Men among boys.
Yes, because they won their first one at Champaign, and then it went to Peoria. So they had that whole vibe working for them. It was just, it was a really, really neat point in time for the Illinois State basketball tournament.
It's difficult to say, well, this team is better than that team, but I'm just from my own standpoint of seeing these guys play Bontemps.
45-0 speaks for itself.
Right.
Yeah. You can't argue 45-0. You are what your record says you are, and 45-0.
Dolph Stanley was a coach, and he went on to coach at Beloit and made a great career there. But you know, you're right. The Peoria teams were so dominating for four consecutive years. Dalton Thornridge, the size of those kids back in those days. You know.
And that's why the history of Illinois basketball is so great, because you've got those types of teams from such a long period.
You know,
of time.
Indiana thinks they've got a great heritage of basketball, but Illinois, I think, has the greatest, only because
they've got Hoosiers. Well, they've got the movie Hoosiers,
but it's okay. But you know, when you have areas like Chicago in the public league, you have Peoria, a hotbed. You know, you had the Deep South in Southern Illinois with the Centralias, the Pinckneyvilles, and all those teams. What a legacy of basketball Illinois has had. It's
such a different mix.
It is.
Virgil Fletcher at Collinsville, Dustin Thomas at Pinckneyville.
Yeah,
it goes on and on.
It really does. By the way, I understand this week that the Mount Olive Bombers were honored by the Macoupin County Board this week.
Good.
As a state champion, so that was kind of a nice thing for them. And I think they and the Staunton Terriers are the only two junior high basketball teams to win state championships in Macoupin County, I believe.
Yeah, I know Bunker Hill finished second. Yeah. A couple times, but to actually bring home the hardware. Yeah. I think you're right.
Terriers did it in '83.
And as we've said before, guys, those girls will remember that the rest of their life.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Absolutely.
They'll never forget that.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, we're almost out of time, but before we run out of time, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the Hall of Fame vote that went down this week. Nobody getting in. Bonds, Clemens. They throw Sosa in there. Don't even put Sosa in the same classification as Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. That's an insult to them, first of all. But Bonds, Clemens, the greatest hitter, the greatest pitcher of an era, out, and I don't think they're ever going to get in.
I think the precedent has been set. And from henceforth, the steroid era people will not be a part of the Hall of Fame.
I think that's what this vote said. Their percentages were in the 30s. Mm. You know, if they would have been up in the 50s, you could make the case that eventually they're going to rise to 75, but I don't see it happen.
No.
And a guy to me that was in that mix, not steroid and stuff, but was a victim of circumstances, was a guy like Craig Biggio.
Yeah.
Biggio will be in next year. 3,000 hits and all his career with one ball club. And although he did get 60-some percent of the vote, I think.
He got close. And, you know, us being Cardinal fans, we got to see a lot of Craig Biggio. Yeah. If that guy's not a Hall of Fame baseball player, I don't know who is.
Yeah. Well, probably him and Bagwell both. Bagwell was, you know. But I agree with you guys, and I have to say, hopefully, I hope it's right. Those guys never make the Hall because they just screwed up. Plain words, they screwed up.
That's exactly right. They made their bed, and now they have to lie in it. It's as plain and simple as that. And the other name that keeps coming up is Mike Piazza. People seem to be outraged that he didn't make the Hall of Fame. I don't understand this. They tell me that he's the best offensive catcher of all time. Okay, that's fine. Maybe he is. But he was a terrible catcher. He was an awful catcher. Yeah. He couldn't throw anybody out. So if you can't play the position for which you're hitting, I don't care how good of an offensive player you are.
And if he wasn't Tommy Lasorda's nephew, he would never have made a club.
Right. But I mean, to say you're the best offensive catcher, that would imply that you actually play the position of catcher.
Yeah.
He was terrible.
Stone hands.
Terrible.
When you think of catchers, you know, I have to think of guys like Johnny Bench and some of those people.
Exactly.
When you think about Ted Simmons and the numbers Ted Simmons put up as a Cardinal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, here in the Midwest, and, you know, he played on a lot of Cardinal teams that weren't really great teams, but his numbers are pretty doggone good.
And to put it in perspective, getting back to the Hall of Fame, I told somebody yesterday, and it struck me kind of funny. I said, you want to put it in perspective? Had Craig Biggio played for New York, he'd be in the Hall of Fame this morning.
That's
exactly right.
Right there. Absolutely.
Do you see the crop that's going to be in next year? Greg Maddux? I think, I don't know if Glavin's in that. I mean,
Tom Glavin's up. I don't think Glavin will get on the first ballot, though.
Maddux should.
Maddux should.
Yeah. Maddux and Biggio will be in the Hall of Fame next year.
Yeah, I would think so.
I would put Morris in there. They'll find a way to get Jack Morris in there.
Oh, I can't argue with that. That dude was a big game pitcher. I always remember that 1991 World Series, Game 7, 1-0, pitches 10 shutout innings in Game 7 of the World Series.
Looked like he could pitch 10 more.
He was ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that dude was intense.
Yeah, can you imagine somebody coming out and said, Jack, let's give the ball What?
Yeah. It'd be a gimme
over my dead body.
Get like, off this mound.
Yeah, get off
now.
The mound.
Like the manager coming out and telling Gibson,
right.
You're out of here.
No thanks. We are out of time. The Fighting Illini coming up this afternoon at 12:30. Our coverage from the Macoupin County Basketball Tournament kicks off at 6 tonight here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. For Tobin, Terry, Uncle Ralph, I'm Tim. We're out. Talk to you next week.